This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're here with Laugh Out Proud
with Z and G on Joy 94.9.
Listen to Laugh Out Proud
with Z and G
on Joy 94.9. And look, Kirsty Webeck just decided to drop by. Why not? Really?
And so did Kirsty Webeck. They're both here.
Everybody's here.
And we're thankful for
in the studio. We appreciate it so much for coming down.
My pleasure.
Because we know it's late.
It is late.
Yeah, it is.
Even for a comedian, it's a bit late on a Thursday night.
It's super late.
It's just too late.
And in fact, I'm livid.
You've just come from a gig. And look, we appreciate you not just going home and taking a nap and just coming straight here.
Yeah.
We appreciate it so much.
It's my absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
But where'd you play tonight?
I played at a little private corporate gig.
Nice.
That's all.
Nice.
It sounds a lot more exciting than it is.
So how did you get into comedy?
I guess a little bit more than 4 years ago, I did a workshop for a week.
Nice.
It was around the time of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. And it wasn't affiliated, though. I don't know why I have to tell people that, but whenever I talk
legally
about
obligated.
It... My lawyers have told me.
I signed something and I can't stop
it. Yeah, it makes it sound like really mysterious and important. It's not at all. I did this workshop, and then at the end of the workshop, we had to do a five-minute set. So it went for a week, and you worked up 5 minutes.
Are those workshops that, like other Aussie comics will, coach you through and stuff?
Yeah.
So who was...
Well, incidentally, it was actually a gentleman from the US.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice. Exotic.
And very exotic. And he actually resides in Byron Bay ordinarily.
Oh.
And there's a lot going on.
Interesting twist here.
No one knew this story was going to be so wild, did they? It's spiraling out of control.
When does it end? We don't know.
We don't know.
Have we hit the peak yet?
No, we're just on the build up. I can't believe it myself. And he ran this course. He came down, and I don't know if he does it anymore, but anyway, he did the course. It went for a week. You did a bunch of sessions, and you worked up 5 minutes worth of material, basically. And then at the end of it, you had to do a 5 minute set. And a condition of the workshop was that you had to sell, I think it was 10 tickets.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's like a bringer show or something.
Yeah, it was totally a bringer show. And which was fine. A bringer show like that works in that context because none of you have done comedy before, so your friends do want to see it.
Yeah, that's right.
So it actually works. So, but there were 15 of us. So if my grade 6 maths serves me correctly, there was about 150 people there, at a minimum.
As for these first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's huge.
And that's a lengthy lineup as well. You said 15. That's a solid showcase.
So you main evented, right? Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I like to say that I headlined.
Yeah, you did. Technically, right? Yeah.
And your first gig, huge.
I'm I've always been a headliner.
So, you were interested in comedy before then, before you decided to take the workshop.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It was this weird dream that I had that it wasn't a very overt one.
Okay.
People all my life had told me that I should be a comedian, and every time I get on stage now, somebody comes up to me after the show and says to me, all my friends say I should be a comedian. And I'm all of our friends do say that to us.
Yeah.
They're our friends because they like us and they think we're funny.
That's right, yeah.
But, sometimes it doesn't translate. I've had friends in the past who, off stage, they're literally the funniest people I know. They're way funnier than me. But being funny at the pub with your mates and whatever doesn't necessarily translate
And it's a very specific audience as well. If you're doing that, to your friends, that's a friend specific audience who know you
totally. The background and they appreciate your idiosyncrasies, and you're usually riffing off them as well.
Yeah,
aren't
that's
you?
Right. Yeah,
you
yeah.
know? But when you're on stage, unless you get a friendly heckler, it's just you
yeah,
bringing
that's right.
all the energy. So it's a totally different skill set.
Yeah. making strangers laugh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you walk out on stage. Like, this happens at nearly every gig. You walk out on stage and there'll be at least one person. They're always near the front and they've always got their arms crossed. Yeah. And they're just glaring at you like...
Great body language for comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you know that they're just going, make me laugh.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, do you know what? I will... try.
Yeah. So you do, right? Yeah.
I'll have a red hot go at it. Don't look at me like that, please.
You're still getting a paycheck either way.
Yeah. So I had that thing where people were always like, you should be a comedian, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. Mm. And I thought it would be fun in theory, but I didn't realise that it was something that was like sort of like latently like buried deep within.
Right, yeah.
It was like one of those weird epiphany moments one day where I was like, hey, yeah, I should be a comedian. And literally on the spot, I signed up for that workshop.
That's awesome.
Wow.
And then after that workshop, this is really cheeky, I just wrote a one-hour show. Wow. So the second time I went on stage, I did a one-hour show.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you go about chopping all those jokes and working them all out and you know, making sure they worked?
I didn't.
No, you didn't.
So you still got the headline.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. I was like, well, I'm a headliner now, but nobody knows me, so I'm going to have to create my own show.
Yeah, that's amazing. What a feat. How did that... Was it for a comedy festival or Fringe?
No, I independently... I'm from Canberra, so I took it to Canberra because I was like, at a minimum, Mum will come, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, like, Mum will be there, so that's cool. Mum, she'll make Dad come, so that's two people too. Yeah, sick. So I wrote the show, I took it to Canberra, and then I've got a public relations and marketing background, so basically I just managed to get a little bit of coverage and get the word out to... you know, anyone who would vaguely set eyes on me at any stage in my life. And I actually sold out this room. And
wow.
I was like, I was pleased as punch with myself until I walked out on stage and was like, Kirsty, you've got to deliver something now. It's like, this has been all so great in theory and such like a, you know, just a real pumper-uppera for your prospective comedy career. But, you got to do the show now, mate.
Yeah, there's...
So how did that first show go then for that?
In hindsight, it definitely would have been like a Year 6 rostrum speech. It 100% would have been. But, like, people liked it and they came back. And it was rehearsed down to a T.
Mm.
And I learned something so valuable, like, a little bit after that. Because I was on stage and I had this moment where I just completely forgot what I was talking about.
Oh no!
And I wasn't present in the moment at all because I was freaking out.
Yeah.
So it was like I was hovering a bit above my body, you know, and I was just like, I don't know what comes next. And then I was like, wait up! I don't even know what I just said.
Yeah.
I genuinely don't even know what I'm up to, and I had this panic, but people were still laughing from the last joke, so I was scrambling, and I eventually found my place. And then I was freaking out for the whole rest of the show. I was freaking out about the bits that I was missing.
So did you work out the jumping off point, or did you just sort of move on to the next joke that you could remember?
I can't. I think I got it pretty close to where I was meant to be up to.
That's nice.
Yeah, but the thing was that I was just so freaked out by it. But then it was down the track a little bit that I'm pretty sure someone told me, no one knows. Like what your jokes are or what your script is.
Yeah.
So why are you freaking out? Like no one knows that you skipped a joke. You're the only one that knows the joke.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
You know, and at that stage, like I didn't have the skills to be doing any like mad callbacks or anything.
Yeah.
Okay. So it wasn't I hadn't set up a callback, which I do all the time now. I do it all the time where I'm up on stage because I love callbacks. Yeah. I use them all the time. And I'll be up on stage and I'll be getting towards the end of a set. I did this on Monday night actually. And I'll be like, right, I'm going to leave you with this. And I'll start talking and I'll be like, why am I leaving them with this? Because I forgot to set it up. But now, like, I've been on stage enough, luckily, that I can work it out while I'm up there.
Yeah.
You develop this weird skill of, being in the moment, knowing what you're talking about that, but being able to think ahead at the same time.
Mm.
Yeah, of course.
So you just petition your brain in two ways?
That destination you have to hit
yeah.
for something the way you get there kind of changes here and there, but it's still, you've got to hit that end point a certain way sometimes. But
yeah, and you can keep delivering while skipping ahead and thinking, okay, and also having been present enough earlier on to be able to remember what you did or didn't do.
So
you just get to this point where every now and then you'll just, it'll pop into your head and you'll be like, okay, I'm doing this bit and I usually like to end it this way, but wait up. Did I say that thing earlier? No, I didn't. Okay, so they've got no reference point. I can't do that. What am I going to do? And you're like thinking all of this stuff while still being like, hey, what's up with airplane food? it's interesting. Once you get to that point, you can relax.
That came with being familiar with the material or being comfortable enough in the just the position of
stage
being
presence
on stage
the latter.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, the latter for sure. I mean, it helps to know your material, definitely, but...
Once you're comfortable on stage, you can't really be present in the moment and be able to sort of think everything through.
Yeah,
until you get over that stage.
You've got to be totally at home up on stage. You just be able to be like, whatever. Like most gigs I do now, like when I get on stage, and I say most because sometimes it doesn't happen, but when I get on stage, like I feel like I'm in charge.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
Whereas even a couple of years ago, I'd be like, everyone's listening. It's going to be all right, you know. I'm like thinking like that. But now you get to a point where you've been on stage so much that you get up there and you're just like, damn right you're listening to me.
That confidence is there. Yeah. Back yourself.
Yeah. And you're like, yeah, hell yeah. Show some respect, everyone. Yeah.
Look, well, while
you know
we,
who I am, right?
Well, while we build this confidence, you'll be listening to this song. Listen to Laugh Out Proud.
It's ZMG.
On Joy 94.9. And look, Kirsty Wiebeck is still here with us.
And still grooving.
Still grooving. She had some crazy dance moves that she was just performing.
Mind blown.
What do you call them, Kirsty? I don't...
Oh my gosh, I don't even have a name for them.
Wow, unnamed. The unnamed dancers.
Yeah, the unnamed. That's exactly what they are.
You have to go and check them out. Whatever you
want. Yeah, for sure.
Check them out. Request.
Check them out on some YouTube channel. Yeah. Somewhere, I'm sure. They're somewhere. But we were talking about your first comedy
hour.
Your first hour.
Yes,
you did it out of your first time was on stage was 5 minutes. Then your second time on stage was an hour.
Yes,
the third time 6 hours.
Yeah,
the way that it's growing. Yes.
And now I won't do a gig unless it's 24 hours long.
So who were your comedy heroes? Who are your people you look up to?
Are they? Oh gosh, now it's so hard now. There's so many of them, but Denise Scott is a big one of mine. I'm a bit of a storyteller as well, so I love Denise, and she's also the best person in the world. I love Cal Wilson. Ditto for her, best person. They're both the best people. Cal Wilson, she's amazing. I love Nazim Hussain. Hannah Gadsby, I'm going to catch up with her show. I still haven't seen Nanette. I've heard a million things about it, but I still haven't caught up with it.
Is she really quitting? What's the deal there?
Well, I don't know. I don't have any inside information, but it seems legit. I mean, she's down on the television down in Tassie, so...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It is huge.
I guess, you're going out on the top, you know?
100%.
You know, why?
Definitely. Yeah. I've heard that show is incredible, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. Probably Cameron Esposito. She's a US comic and she's quite political and very, very clever. She's sort of blowing up right now. She has her own TV show now with her wife. They are allowed to get married over there.
Yes.
Topical.
I know, right? Yeah.
A bit early in the morning to get all political. Soz, everyone.
No, why not? Why not? We can get serious. We can do that. Yeah. We're capable.
We
that reality
that.
Check.
Boom. Sobering moment.
So you said you got into comedy 4 years ago. So then how many comedy festivals have you done?
I just did my third. I did the last three in a row.
Wow, so how was the first comedy festival run? How did it go?
It actually went super well. It went really, really well. I did my first 2 years up at Casare Top's Dirty Secrets up on Smith Street.
Okay. Yeah.
I've got that rad bluestone comedy bunker. Mm-hmm. And I did it up there, and so I was a bit out of the city, but I kind of wanted that in a way. Like, I didn't want too much pressure on me.
Mm. Yeah.
And so my first year was like a bit... You know, I had a couple of sold-out shows, and then I had a few pretty quiet shows.
Right.
Did you do a full run?
No, I've only ever done a half run. I'm doing a full run next year. But
first half or second half of it? Somewhere in the middle.
All 3 years I've done the first half.
Yeah,
I have.
The biggest push, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, it's hard to know. It's really hard to know. The first or the second half works better for different people, and the years change. They vary so much. Mm. My second year, I nearly sold out my whole run. And then I had this, like sensei moment with my dear friend now who owns Kaz Raytups, where we're having a drink after my final night, and he said to me, you know, great run. It's always a pleasure having you here, but you can't come back here.
Oh, wow. What a...
Yeah, exactly.
Another reality.
Sorry. Exactly. Another reality. Exactly. And I was like, I just sat there and looked at him, and he said, you've got to move into the city and you've got to get a bigger room.
Wow.
You know, like, what a beautiful moment.
You've outgrown it, yeah.
Yes. Wow, yeah. Exactly. He set the butterfly free. Oh. So this year I did exactly what he said, and I moved into the city and got a bigger room. And my run was cool this year as well. I didn't know how it was going to go because I did move into the city up to the Imperial, and they it's a big venue for a comedy festival, so it's programmed very meticulously. Yeah. And it was my first year there, so I got a 9:45 time slot. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And usually when I put shows on, they're like 7:30 starters.
Okay.
So I knew it would alienate some people. Like, that's late.
Yeah.
And it did. I mean, you know, people contacted me and were like, "You're going to do an encore, an earlier one, blah blah blah." But anyway, the run went super well. I was in a much bigger room, double the size of what I've previously done.
Wow.
And, I had a few sold-out nights, and the nights that weren't sold out were pretty good. Like, they were up there. So, yeah, it was super fun. And the show was super fun. Like, yeah, the audiences were really, really fun. So,
did you the first comedy festival did you abide by the old way that you did it and just didn't shop anything around? Or, you know, you went to the open mics and you tested everything? No.
My first one... I tested a tiny bit of it.
Yeah.
It was actually the first time I ever went to an open mic.
Right.
When I rocked up, like, no one had any idea who I was.
Yeah.
Which was totally fair enough. I was literally nobody. Like, no one had a reference point for me. So everyone was like, just get up there and give it your all and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, okay, cool. And then I got up there and, you know, it wasn't necessarily the best comic in the world, but was comfortable on stage. And so everyone was like, what?
What's going on?
Yeah, like, why are you so chilled up there? And I was like, well, I've actually... I had quite a bit of stage time, just in a weird way.
Like,
headliner,
by the way.
Don't worry. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I'll do it. I'll come to your open mic.
But second
I mean,
bracket. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I've only ever headlined. But, don't tell anyone the circumstances under which.
The text is small at the moment.
So I didn't workshop it.
Wow.
And you know what? I mean, people have opinions about stuff like that. Like, I think it comes across to people quite frequently as arrogant, like, that you're just like, this show's so good, I don't need to test it out or anything like that. But usually it's more down to disorganisation with me. Like, it's got nothing to do with being like, oh, my God. And, these days I do a lot of rooms and a lot of corporate gigs and that kind of jazz. And so what, you test it at all of those gigs that you do, you have your old gold, and then this is a trick that most of us do with little bits and bobs that you want to test out. You slot them in the middle,
because
then if it doesn't do that well, you've got old gold coming up again anyway. So that's So I do test it a lot now, but it probably still looks like I don't.
That's awesome. So the corporate gigs, what are they? How do they? The audiences. Like, you know, usually the stereotyped, you know, corporate gig is that it doesn't really go over that well, or they're never really wanting to be there, or, you know, so how have your experiences been with a corporate gig?
I actually really enjoy corporate gigs. A lot of people don't, but I have a really fun time at them. And my experiences have always been the opposite of what you've just said, which a lot of comics do say. But I don't know. I don't know if it's because I worked in a corporate environment for a while, or I don't know what it is.
Talk to these people and, you know...
And I mean, it's not really that mysterious. Like, find out who the boss is and go to town on them.
So it's just a roast session on the boss.
You just find someone to roast, or you find, like, the office larrikin
okay.
or whatever, and, like, you get them involved and everyone loves it.
Yeah,
you
know? You got to know the inside jokes, just like when you're sort of going to a different city, you have to learn all the ins and outs of that city.
Totally. Like if you get there for like the speaker before you or whatever, and you just have a quick look at the crowd, and you're just like, oh yeah, okay, he's a wise guy, or you learn someone's name who is obviously notorious, and so that's how you learn it, because everyone's like, oh, Gavin, and then you get up there and you're like, hey everyone, thanks for having me. What's up with Gavin?
Gavin, what, right?
What's that dude's deal? Like, God, I'm glad I don't work with him. Every day, 9 to 5, Jesus. Settle down, Gavin.
So, you have been on Joy before.
I have, yes.
You have graced us with your talents.
Indeed, I have.
So, were you only on Drive? What was your... how did you get into Joy?
Well, I did Taste of Radio course years ago. Years and years ago. And then... I think I was going to have a show at that time, like straight after, but that was like right at the beginning of my comedy career as well.
Okay.
And I didn't realise it was going to be a career. Like, I didn't think it was going to do that well or it'd take a while. And then suddenly I was super busy with comedy, so there was no hope of having an actual show of my own. But then, Joy was just super supportive of me. So while I was doing comedy and stuff, like, they'd just get me in for interviews all the time So, which was rad. And so I was kind of always around here doing bits and bobs. And I did, like, lots of stand-up sets at different days that Joy put on. All different kinds of events and whatever. Yeah, and so I did that and filling in on shows and that kind of jazz. And so, yeah, I did Drive for a little bit this year. And then,
How did you meet the person? What was the name of the person that you did the Drive show with?
Kimberly.
Kimberly. How did you meet Kimberly?
Comedy.
Comedy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So she's also a stand-up. Yeah.
She is a stand-up indeed. Yes.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
So are you... What are you doing these days? What are you just
Anything exciting coming up?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm so glad you are. So many exciting things coming up. I've got a few cool things. What's in the immediate... on the immediate horizon? I'm doing... Well, in Sydney, I'm doing Queer Stories in Sydney.
That's cool.
In a couple of weeks. I think that's on August 25th. So I'm heading up there to Giant Dwarf. And then on the 29th of August, I'm heading for a little mini tour for a bit over a week to Alice Springs. I'm doing the Alice Desert Festival. And then I'm going up to Darwin via Catherine and Tennant Creek.
Wow. Okay.
Yep. So that's super fun. And then I fly from Darwin down to Canberra to do the Fearless Comedy Gala on September 8th. So that's mega exciting. I've also missed a key Melbourne date.
Sounds like you are so booked up. It's crazy.
I'm super
crazy.
Booked up.
It's awesome.
I've got to tell you the Melbourne one though, because that one's very exciting.
You got it.
I'm doing a split bill on August 24th at the Imperial with Jude Pearl, who is a very dear friend of mine and probably the best musical comedian I have seen. Nice. So her and I are doing a split on August 24th at 7:30. Not giving it a massive plug, but yes, I am. Come to the show. Please come to the show. No, sure. It's going to be a hoot. Yeah, so heaps of stuff coming up.
And you also have a podcast.
I do. It is launching on August 25th.
Oh, nice. Nice.
You've booked yourself.
It's crazy.
Oh, I know.
This is awesome.
2017 is Kirstie Weebeck here.
Yeah, sure is. The headliner's back in town. Exclusively headlining. It's called Lucid Themes.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that name.
Yeah, thank you.
How did you get on? How did you jump on that? Was that like a bang, that's it, or you mulled it over for a little
bit? Because Laugh Out Proud took us an embarrassingly long time to get to. Embarrassingly long.
Yeah, like a few coffees. Yeah,
Naming things is so hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like everything that you come up with you think sounds dumb.
Yeah.
Like you're just like, ugh, why does it sound cool when other people name stuff, but everything I come up with is stupid.
And you have to own it.
Yeah.
You want it and you have to, it has to still represent. It's like, I have to be happy to say that I work for...
I still feel though sometimes when something has the right ring, you still can identify, you know, that, oh, that sounds good, you know what I mean? Like, you know?
Yeah, totally, for sure. I was in a conversation with somebody at the time when I was thinking about my podcast and they said the word lucid.
Nice.
And then, like...
It's a good word. It's a freaking cool word,
it's so good. It's so good. And I love a play on words. And so then I was lucid. People usually say lucid dreams.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a podcast with lots of different themes. Hey. I'm going to whack them together.
I can picture all the light bulbs.
And I'm also, I hate naming things so much, and I feel like I constantly have to do it with shows and stuff.
For sure. Yeah,
that, that I was just like, oh, yeah, I like that. Don't think about it too hard. Don't make yourself hate it. All right, that's what it's called. Quickly message your friend and ask her to make you a logo right now so it's locked in. And that's exactly what I did. So, yeah, that's out on August 25th.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Kirsty. We
My
appreciate
pleasure.
It.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And you've been listening to Laugh Out Proud
with Z&G
on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.